Good morning. I know everybody's tired, but we're going to have food in a minute, so cheer up. Thank you. We are finishing our love series this morning. We've talked all month about love, what it is, how to do it. And this morning, what we want to talk about is we want to give you three practical ways of how you can love someone right now, in your life right now. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus gave his disciples what he called a new commandment. As he was preparing for his final days, getting ready for the death, his burial, and resurrection, he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." And he said, "By this love, all people will know that you are my disciples." Sometimes we know what love is, we know why love is, all the other things, but sometimes we don't know how to carry out that love. This morning, I want to give you three things that you can show people your love now. Number one, this seems kind of obvious, but it's a little deeper than you think. Spend time with somebody else. Spend time with somebody else. If we really think about it, time is our most valuable resource because it's the one resource that you cannot buy any more of. Think about it. You spend all the money in your bank account. You get a job, you add more money to the bank account, you'll get more money. You use all the gas in your car. Eventually, you'll get more gas, isn't that right? You lose all of your clothes, like people have this week, in a fire or a flood. Eventually, you will get those things back. But how much would you pay for another minute or hour with a loved one? Your mother or father who passed away. Someone that you love that is now gone. How much would you pay for just another minute to talk to them? Hear people all the time on their deathbeds, waiting, just asking for one more hour. I just want one more day to straighten things out. And the sad reality is it's simply not there. And Jesus knew this. Jesus knew that his time was his most valuable resource. He knew that he had a certain amount of time on earth, and he spent 30 years of that preparing for his ministry. He spent 3 years of that with 12 guys who he was preparing to do the work for him after he left. I want to turn your attention to a certain verse in particular that we're probably aware of, Luke chapter 19. In Luke 19, we have the classic example of Jesus and a tax collector named Zacchaeus. And if you're familiar with the children's rhyme, he was a wee little man, which we never say wee, but he was small. He was a short guy, and he was a tax collector. And he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, who was coming into Damascus at that time, Jericho at that time. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now, when a rabbi came into town like this situation, like Jesus is doing right now, it was a big deal. Imagine someone who's a rock star came into our town, and people were just flooding the streets, waiting on this guy to come in that town. That's how Jesus would have been received in this time. He was a rabbi. He was performing miracles. Everyone was waiting on him. What is he going to do? And he comes into town, and the big question is, who is this rabbi, his disciples, who is he going to stay with? That was the big question. And of course, there are Pharisees in town, people of well repute in town, and they're all expecting this rabbi to come to them and approach them and say, "You're someone of stature. I want to stay at your house today." What Jesus does instead is telling. He finds someone of the lowest stature, among Jews at least, and says, "Everyone doesn't like you. I want to spend my time on you." And of course, everyone gets upset about this because he wasn't at my house, but also, why are you spending time with this sinner, namely Zacchaeus? As a matter of fact, Jesus was so fond of spending time with people, he usually ate with them. And he ate so much that in Luke chapter 7, he says that people called him a glutton. That's all Jesus ever does in Nazareth. He goes and eats with people, and he sits around a table, and he eats with them. He's a glutton is what he is. That's how much he valued his time with other people. Jesus honored other people with his time. As Christians, as his disciples, can we do any better than that? When was the last time that you sat with someone who you knew was hurting? You spent 5 minutes, an hour. And ironically, in our situation, I can spend 3+ hours on Netflix watching some show that I don't care about, that I'm not going to remember the next day. It's not going to have any involvement in my life. But somehow I neglect to spend at least 5 minutes in prayer. I neglect to spend an hour with someone who's hurting, who needs me. I neglect, not trying to guilt y'all, but it's what it is. I neglect to call my mom. I could spend 15 minutes on the phone with her, or I could do whatever I wanted to do. If you want to show somebody that you love them actively, spend a little time on them. Number two this morning, bear someone else's burdens. Bear someone's burdens. It's something that we say a lot, but we don't ever really put it into action and figure out what that actually looks like. Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This should remind us of another verse that we read that Jesus said. Someone asked Jesus, what are the two greatest commandments in the entire Bible? If you had to boil down the entire Bible into two commandments that we could take right now and go home with, what would they be? What did Jesus say? Number one, first of all, love God with all of your heart, your soul, and your might. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. And what he says next is telling. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So basically what he says, if you don't have love for God, if you don't have love for the person living next door to you, the rest of the law is not going to make any difference to you. This is similar here, right? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you could say, what does Christianity boil itself down to at the end of the day? It is sympathy and love for somebody else. Sympathy and love for somebody else. When I bear someone else's burdens, I'm saying no longer it's your problem, you deal with it. I'm saying it's our problem. Let's together deal with it. I want to bring up this example here. This is Georgia, if you couldn't tell. I lived right up the top, at the top left over here. It's called Whitfield and Murray County. Any Chatsworth people in here? Nope, that's what I thought. Oh, one, Chatsworth. I got it, Whitfield County, I forgot. Whitfield County in the house. Okay, I'm bringing this up for a reason, I promise. When I was growing up in the 2000s, I was in middle school, that's a long time ago. I was in middle school, I was in elementary school, and I heard a lot about immigration. And I'm sure you heard the same. Immigration, our border's not safe, people are coming across it in waves, and that was mostly just what I was hearing. But then I got to middle school and high school, and a lot of my friends were Latino. Their parents were first-generation immigrants to America. And it was funny listening to who they actually were versus what people told me about them. I was being told these people are no good. Ah, they're no count, they're here to steal our jobs, they won't pay taxes, X, Y, and Z. That's what I was told from people who were not in this situation. But then when you met people, first-generation immigrants and their children who I went to school with, you heard a different story. We fled our home country because there was bad stuff going on there, drugs. We were constantly in harm's way. And I started to gain a better understanding and sympathy for people who fled their home country. And eventually, Chatsworth and Dalton were so populated, people who spoke Spanish primarily, that in our community, we started a Spanish-speaking ministry. So all of a sudden, I'm hearing things about people and what people are telling me about certain people that I have no idea who they are, and now I'm in the same church with them trying to figure out what kind of people they were. Let me tell you something. These people were some of the hardest workers, some of the most dedicated to what they were doing that I've ever met. I come from a middle-of-the-road, maybe middle-class kind of family. Never missed a meal, had my own room to myself. I shared a bathroom with my siblings, but that was about as worse as it got. I was pretty well off. Things were fine for me. But then you start going to the home of some of these Christians who were Spanish speakers from Mexico, Guatemala. They lived 6 or 7 people in one trailer. It wasn't uncommon for their roofs to leak and the trailer to get messed up, and we would have to go help them fix it. Other people lived in housing projects. Several people jammed into one house, and guess what? They were happy to be there. They were happy to be there. This is how we ended up bearing their burdens. I went from people telling me about these people. I have no idea who they were, no idea about their struggles. We went from that's your problem, to finally, I want to be in your house. I want to see what you're dealing with. What do you need done that I can help you with? That's what bearing each other's burdens looks like. It goes from that's your problem, you deal with it, to it's our problem. We are going to deal with it. I hear people all the time talk about, I don't understand how a husband could look at pornography actively and not love his wife. How is that possible? And so many times when you get into counseling, guess what the idea is? That's your problem. It's not mine. You deal with that issue. It's not mine. I can't understand how someone could let alcohol control them so much that they drink themselves just into oblivion. They lose their job, lose their family, all their relationships. And we start saying, well, that's their problem. It's not my problem. I can't understand how someone could not come to church. How could you not know the truth? How could you not want to do those things? Well, that's your problem. It's not my problem. If we are going to bear each other's burdens, we have to switch from this mindset. It's no longer just your problem. It is our collective problem. How can we work to solve these things? If you want to love like Jesus actively, you will find some burden to bear and you will help them with it. And the good thing about this situation is that there are always burdens to bear, right? There's always a loss of a loved one. There's always some kind of physical pain that we're going through. The chances are all around us. Lastly, this morning, if you want to show an act of love, obey Jesus. Again, I know that sounds kind of self-explanatory, I'm putting it in your lap, but again, it goes a little deeper than we think. Love Jesus. In Ephesians 5, Paul talks about how the husband should love their wives, how that relationship should look, but then he stops and says, this is actually mirroring the relationship between Christ and the church. The church is, in essence, Jesus's bride. Now, a lot of us in here are married, so I'll kind of put this on this level. What happens, husband, or wife, I guess, it's not exclusive to husbands, what happens when your anniversary comes up, you're busy, you're working, you're doing stuff, you're trying to provide for your family, and your anniversary comes and goes, and you didn't know about it? What does that process look like? Depending on who you've married, depending on who you had the relationship with, it comes in different ways, right? You might get smug little remarks like, boy, did you miss anything? Or some people might come out and say it, did you forget that we were married? What happened there? Well, I wonder, in our marriage relationship with Jesus, how much of those things we pay attention to? Men, do you know what your wife's favorite color is? Do you know her birthday? Do you know her favorite movies? Do you know the favorite books or her hobbies she likes to do? Probably, if you're an involved husband, then you know. As a Christian, do you know what Jesus did? Do you know the life he lived? Do you know what he said? If someone asked you off the street, hey, what did Jesus say about this? Can you tell them right away? Like if someone asked me, what's Morgan's birthday? What's her favorite meal? What's X, Y, and Z? I might struggle a little bit, but I could tell you eventually, oh, it's this, that's right. Are we that same way as Christians? We're his bride. Shouldn't we know these things? Here's what he says in John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. It sounds simple, right? If you're a husband, you love your wife, you don't cheat on her, of course. You don't abuse her. If you're a wife, you love your husband. It's exclusive in the marriage contract. Isn't that right? I take this woman. I take this man. All others are excluded. But again, sometimes as Christians, we have a hard time with that. Well, I can be a Christian and still do X, Y, or Z. I can be a Christian and still have this bride and that husband. I can still be married to these things and still be a Christian. Jesus says, if we're entering this relationship, it's exclusive. If you love me, you keep my commandments. And it reminds us of a verse like Matthew 28. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 28. What did Jesus command us to do at the end of the day? Matthew chapter 28. A verse that a lot of us are really familiar with, but let's really look into it. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to what? Observe all things I've commanded you. Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Jesus said, in my new kingdom that you are establishing, that you're going out and you're going to spread this good news, you make disciples and you teach them to obey, or in John 14:15, to love everything that I have said. A lot of us have been Christians for a long time. And this lesson is not going to blow your mind. I didn't reveal something to you that you, oh, I didn't know that before. Oh, it's not going to be that kind of lesson. And that's okay. Sometimes we need those kind of lessons. But here's what I want you to meditate on. How many lessons have you ever heard And how much of Jesus do you actually know? He said, keep my commandments if you want to prove that you love me. Do you know what he commanded? Do you know what he said? Or are we just simply turning a blind eye and saying, I know what you're saying, but I'm not about it? If you're a Christian, if you want to show that you actually love Jesus and the people around you, prove it. Take what you've heard today, take what you've heard in lessons your entire life into action and start doing it. That's the end result. If you are not a Christian and you do love Jesus, you love who he was, you love what he said, you love the way that he stood up to bullies and that he saved the world. If you love Jesus, he asks you to prove it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Matthew 7, he says something very biting. Matthew 7, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into this kingdom, but he who does what? He who does the will of my Father in heaven. I'm glad you're here. We want to see each other in heaven. But ultimately, that decision is going to be up to you, whether or not you want to display your love for God. If there is a sin in your life that you know shouldn't be there, you have two choices. I'm going to ignore it and just hope on grace, hope that I get by, or you can actively try to fix it. And the church can help you with this. The church can help you. If we confess our sins one to another, that empowers us to bear these burdens with each other, doesn't it? I can spend time with you. We can talk about it. We can study about it. We can work through it together. But ultimately, that is your choice to make. If you love Jesus this morning, prove it. Prove it. Repent of sins. Confess him with your mouth. If you are not a Christian, be baptized. Become his disciple. Find others who love Jesus also. If the church can serve you in any way this morning, make it known right now. Sing the song of invitation.